freedom. Good morning to everyone. Nice to see everyone here today. I want to welcome anyone tuning in on the webcast this morning. It truly is a blessing to have our webcast. People from all over the world tune in and watch and join us for services. It really is a benefit. Donald Trump, Joseph Biden. When I say those words, what thoughts come to your mind? Well, you're probably thinking, you know, I've heard these names all week long, all month long, all year long. The last thing I want to do is come here to church and hear these names again. Please don't leave. This is not all about Donald Trump and Joseph Biden. But if you were to go across the street to the park and just pick a person at random and say those names, Donald Trump, Joseph Biden, what kind of a reaction would you get? What do others, what do they think about when they hear those names? When we think about our cities, our communities, how polarized we are, we see our cities burning, we see civil unrest, we see conspiracies, we see this polarizing, even in families and churches, we see this conflict. Do we ever have peace? The world doesn't know its way to peace. It's interesting, our opening prayer today prayed that we would have peace. Do you have Donald Trumps and Joe Bidens in your life? And certainly we all do. We have conflicts that we come across. How should the world, our neighbors, how do they see us? Are we different? Are we also participating in the confusion that's going around? In our cities, our nations, we see this polarizing, our families torn apart because of not having and knowing the way to peace. In this country, we have anything but peace. And this is not unique. This is something that we see. We see a trouble throughout the world. We see Jew-Arab conflicts. We read about conflicts in the Bible. We see sometimes not only conflicts around the world in our neighborhood, but sometimes in our families and our work, our workplace, and even in the church at times we see conflict. Well, God doesn't like conflict. In the Old West, the Colt 45 was popularly known as the peacemaker because it would solve a lot of conflict. But shooting someone to solve a conflict may have been a common thing, but that was a strange way to have peace. And would we think that would be peaceful if we were the one being shot to solve that conflict, the old Colt 45? Well, in the world we live in today, it seems the world is in turmoil more than ever before. It seems everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, there's war, there's difficulties, there's conflict, there's anything but peace. And why is that? Isaiah wrote, "The way of peace they have not known, but there's a better way." Paul in Thessalonians wrote, "Be at peace among yourselves." So it's important for us to have peace. It's important for us to know how to have peace. It's important for us to be examples of peace. Well, today we're going to review the importance of being a peacemaker. And if you want a title for today's message, it's simply Godly Peacemaking. So what is a peacemaker and what is peace? When we look at the definition, Vine's Expository Dictionary tells us it comes from a Greek word, and I'll just spell it, E-I-R-E-N-E. And it states it describes harmonious relationships between man, between nations in the churches, the harmonized relationships between God and man accomplished through the gospel, the good news. It states to be at peace with each other, to be at peace with all men. To make peace, being peaceable. God is a God of peace. So we see the goal that we have. We are to be peaceable. We are to be teaching others how to be peaceable. We are to know how to have peace. So we should be good examples of being peacemakers. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 as we start out today. We'll start reading in verse 13 as we look at some principles regarding how to be a peacemaker. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we all want to abound. We all want to do good. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that we may abound. So that's an important part of our abounding or doing good, is to have peace. Continuing on in verse 33 of the same chapter. Now the God of peace be with you. Amen. And we see Paul's greeting or his closing many times, wishing us peace. If we turn over one more chapter to Romans chapter 16, let's look at verse 20 once again. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace or relationship, complete relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So we see that God is a God of peace. Isaiah 9:6 states his name, talking about Christ, will be called Prince of Peace. So being peaceful, learning peace, being a peacemaker is an important concept for us as Christians. We see Paul's greeting over and over, grace and peace. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. So when we think of peace, the opposite of that would be conflict. And certainly we see conflict all around us. Vine's Expository Dictionary tells us that conflict is a contest against spiritual foes, as well as human adversaries, a struggle, a fight. John 14:27 tells us, this Jesus telling us here, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. So we see this as a promise. We are to be peaceable. Ephesians 6, Paul tells us it is the gospel of peace. When we think about that, we think of the coming kingdom. We celebrated the feast days picturing this coming kingdom recently. And it's a kingdom of peace. We look at that good news about that kingdom where the world will be at peace finally. So what are some impediments, some hindrances to being a peacemaker? What holds us back? Well, certainly there are reasons for conflict that come up. Our personalities. Sometimes we have a different personality to someone else. We have competition, a natural part of human nature. We're wanting to compete with others. We have jealousy. We have greed. We have a different set of values sometimes. We might think of someone that makes his living as a thief and how proud that he is that he took in a big haul somewhere. A different set of values than we have. Of course, there's politics, traditionalists versus progressives, liberals versus conservatives. We see blaming other people for someone else's problems or their own problems. We see calling each other names. These are impediments or hindrances to peace. Well, let's take a look at what the Bible says are causes of conflict. Turn with me to James chapter 3. What are some causes of conflict? And then on the other side of the coin, some causes of peace. James chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 14. Causes of conflict first, James 3:14. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. So what do we see here? Bitter envy and self-seeking, verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And drop down to chapter 4 and verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So we see some reasons for conflict that we have. If we drop back to go back to verse 17, we'll see some reasons or causes of peace, something that we should be emulating. Verse 17, wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So if we see if we have conflict, we should change what's causing it. We should fill that in with what causes peace. When we think of conflict, we see selfishness lends itself to conflict. We see fear to acknowledge that we haven't done everything right. We see self-justification. I can't be wrong. It must be someone else's fault. We have a tendency as human beings with human nature to blame others for our problems. We have greed. We have this striving for power over others, striving for control. It's interesting. Recently, I was watching two-year-olds play, and they had one toy. And really, when you got right down to it, they were fighting over this one toy, but neither one of them really wanted that one toy. And when they were done fighting, they just left the toy lay because they didn't want that one toy. They just didn't want the other one to have it. And so many times in a larger scale, we become just like two-year-olds with whatever reason or whatever situation that might be. And certainly we have Satan's influence driving that in our human nature. We have attitudes of vengeance. We can't let something go that someone has done. And sometimes that's years. One of the biggest stumbling blocks that we have is our pride. And generally pride gets in the way or lends itself to most of these other things. Pride. We can't say that we're sorry. We can't forgive. We see wars are fought over pride, simply pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18 tells us pride comes before destruction. And we all in our lives have to fight the urges of pride. Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Words of wisdom. So how important is it to become a peacemaker? And why be a peacemaker? Why should we be a peacemaker? Why should we be striving to be a peacemaker? When we think about it, it's the heart and core of the New Testament. Let's turn to Matthew 5, talking about a passage that we would typically refer to as the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, Jesus Christ, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So we see a teaching directly by Jesus Christ. Let's drop down to verse 9. Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And when we look at all of these Beatitudes, we see they are directly tied into the kingdom of God, looking forward to the kingdom of God. They shall be called sons of God, a gospel message, a kingdom message, being a peacemaker. And we look at the word peace, we see it's an action word. Here in Matthew 5, 9, the New Living Translation states it this way. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Not blessed are the peaceable or those that love peace, but everyone loves peace, but blessed are those who work for peace, those who actively seek peace, actively seek to resolve conflict. Peacemaker is an active word. And must be active, not just lack conflict, but we must work at it. It takes effort. Christians must do everything they can to mend broken relationships. A Christian must take the initiative to make peace. Now, certainly, we all have had difficulties with other people, but we need to take that initiative to heal those relationships. Romans 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So peace is a very important part of our lives, and we should be actively working towards that. We're in Matthew 5. Let's drop down to verse 23. An example here, one that we've read often. "Therefore, if I bring your gift to the altar," Matthew 5, verse 23, "and there remember that your brother has something against you." Now, interesting, if we stop there and look at that, it's not just if I have something against my brother, but if we remember that our brother has something against us, if we have a problem and someone has a problem with us, "leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and be thrown into prison." So, can we solve and reconcile every problem with everyone? Well, no, because that other person may not want to reconcile. They may not want to have peace, but we should be doing everything in our power to reconcile and have peace with our brother. Romans 14 and verse 19 states, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." And we see this as a recurring theme. Once again, an action word. 1 Corinthians 14:33 states, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll recognize this as the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We'll start in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies." Have we seen any of this week or this month on the news? Verse 21, "Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." A kingdom message. Let's continue on as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, the opposite. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Certainly the opposite. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So we control those passions and desires. "If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit, led by His Holy Spirit. But not," verse 26, "let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And if we're honest with ourselves, probably at one time or another, we've all found ourselves provoking one another or envying one another. Once again, I'm reminded of a 2-year-old sitting next to her little brothers and driving in my car and watching because they were making a fuss, and the 2-year-old kind of looking over and smiling and poking her older brothers and then getting some retaliation and then screaming, "Wah!" And then kind of with a big smile because she got her brothers in trouble. And then a little farther down the road watching and she's poking her brother with her finger again just to stir him up. And how many times, even though they're 2-year-olds, 40, 50, 60, all of us, we can act the same way, but just in adult fashion, provoking each other. How important is it to be a peacemaker? It's our obligation as a Christian. It's that important. So what can we do to become a peacemaker? Let's turn back. We've mentioned the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16. What can we do to become peacemakers? We'll read in verse 7. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. How powerful of a statement is that? If we want to become a peacemaker, we must please God. We must obey his laws. We must follow his guidance. We must seek after God. We must be pleasing God. So if we have a problem with someone, we should talk to God before talking to the other person. We should pray about the problem. We should seek God's help. True reconciliation is God's work, and that's where we start at. It's not easy, but we need to be right with God and pleasing God before we can reconcile with our brother. Let's look at some points of peace. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 as we look at how do we have peace. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 1. One of my favorite books, Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, that's any encouragement, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Now, that's kind of hard when we're from all different backgrounds, we're from all different cultures, different ways of thinking, but time and time again, we are taught to be like-minded and be one. Jesus Christ prayed that we would be one as he and the Father are one. Verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Now, have we seen that on the news this week with the political candidates esteeming each other better than himself? No, certainly we've not. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Is that a common thing that we're used to? No, it takes effort. We should look on the interests, the cares, the concerns of others. Do we take a concern for our young people? Are we interested in our older people? Are we interested in the concerns of everyone together? We must avoid conflict. Certainly we must choose our battles. Do we know the whole situation in some difficulty? Are we seeing the whole picture? We should avoid issues to start with that might cause strife by being sensitive to other people's feelings and their beliefs. We might think of the example of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, where he was dealing with meat offered to idols. What did he say? He said that if it offended my brother, I won't even ever eat meat again. That's what he was, it was his attitude. Are we sensitive to other people's feelings? Here we are having to wear a mask, and some feel like we shouldn't wear a mask, but some feel like we should wear a mask. Are we sensitive to other people's feelings? Are we peacemakers? Do we avoid something in order to keep from offending someone? When we think of the term politeness or manners, it's just thinking of someone else, being sensitive to their feelings, being thoughtful, having thoughtfulness. Coach John Wooden, a well-respected and famous UCLA coach, someone I've read quite a bit about and respect, stated this, and I quote, consider the rights of others before your own feelings, and the feelings of others before your own rights. He was very sharp on many things, taught many young men a lot of things about life. We should have consideration for the rights and feelings of others, and that's a small price to pay for the goodwill that might be returned to us and others. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as we look at some points of peace. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now therefore, is it already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another? Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. So do we accept a little wrong for our brother's sake, if that be the case? It was once said that we could either be right or we can be happy. Are we looking out for the feelings of our neighbor? James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Talking about looking out for others' feelings, being sensitive to others. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. Say you're sorry. Pray for one another that you may be healed, that your relationship may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Are we saying we're sorry if we have offended someone? Are we praying for them that our relationship, not only our physical healing may take place, but our relationships might be healed? Be sensitive to others. Do we have the will to be a peacemaker? Do we realize the importance of that? Do we quantify the problem? Do we isolate it? Do we look at it? Do we communicate the problem? Do we sympathize with our neighbor? Do we sympathize with their problems as to what they may have gone through? Do we cooperate as much as possible? Do we have that attitude of forgiveness, or are we holding grudges? For forgiveness is a peacemaking quality. Matthew 6, verse 14 tells us, God tells us if we forgive others, he will forgive us also. It takes humility. We must humble ourselves before God and our neighbor, our adversary. We must humble ourselves and have servant leadership, because when we take that first step to reconcile, then we are being a leader. And we're all leaders, if you think about it. If we want to have peace in our lives, we must start out by having peace of mind. We can't have peace or peace of mind unless we focus on and allow God to rule in our hearts. That's where it starts at. We must give ourselves up and understand the larger picture. Get out of the way of God. Then we can start to know true happiness. John chapter 14. Do we understand the big picture? John chapter 14. Do we have that inner peace? We'll start reading in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do we have that peace of mind through Jesus Christ? Chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, and certainly we've seen that. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that should be encouraging to us. We have that inner peace knowing God's plan and having the Holy Spirit living through us. When we do that, then we will learn to be content with where we find ourselves. And that comes from living a godly way of life. And when we do that, we know we can have peace of mind in whatever condition we find ourselves. We must have or be at peace with ourselves before we can be at peace with other people. Even through the most difficult trials, when we put our trials into proper perspective, we can be content knowing that big picture. And truly, this is having peace of mind. When we think of being a peacemaker, we also need to understand that we need to have an attitude of being grateful. Giving thanks lends itself to having peace of mind. Here we find ourselves approaching the middle of November. Our country has set aside a day of Thanksgiving. A lot of people have truly lost the meaning of this day, but it is an important day to stop and give God thanks for the things that we have. If we find and give God thanks for the things that we have, then it lends itself much more to being a peacemaker. How important is it to have gratitude? How do we obtain gratitude? It's an important part of peacemaking. So what is gratitude? If we take a closer look, we see the word in the Bible that is translated thankfulness, or is translated gratitude, is thankfulness, have thankfulness, or the act of being full of thanks. Gratitude is not just some insincere gesture, but when we have gratitude, it focuses us away from ourselves, focuses us away from our difficulties, and helps us to focus on others. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. We'll see an example of gratitude. Luke chapter 17, a good example for us to ponder. We'll start in verse 11. A lesson here Jesus is teaching us. Verse 11, and now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. So they had this disease, and they were outcasts. They stood afar off. Verse 13. And they lifted their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they knew who he was and what he had done. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, as we have heard in the past, being a Samaritan, they were rejected by the Jews. And typically, the Jews would not even go through Samaria. They would go around it to try and avoid contact with any of the Samaritans. But Jesus did, and he healed these people. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? So we see one had an attitude of gratitude. He was very thankful that he was healed. Verse 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan? And he said to him, arise, go your way, and your faith has made you well. So what is gratitude? It's being sincerely appreciative and also showing it. When we think about it, so many times we can get wrapped up in our problems without stopping to realize how blessed we truly are. We are blessed more in this country, in this time, in this place in history, than at any other time. We can do things that even the greatest kings of the past couldn't even visualize. Gratitude is vital. Unger's Bible Dictionary tells us this word comes from the Hebrew word Euchariste, and expresses that gratitude or thankfulness is a duty. It's a duty of ours. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we'll read verse 18. When we think of gratitude, it lends itself very much to being a peacemaker. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will in everything. Do we approach our week giving thanks in everything? Gratitude is important to God, but it's important to us because it helps focus us on what is truly important. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 12. How important is gratitude? Verse 12, Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's us, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Verse 14, above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. As we read passages about peace, it's amazing how many times gratitude or being thankful is a part of that passage, or it's a part of that concept. Let peace of God rule in your hearts. Be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Having gratitude and being a peaceable person go hand in hand. He's talking about his elect. He's talking about us. So we should show gratitude towards God. We see the example and think about the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt to the promised land. And we see them prospering, and then we see them failing. We see them at peace. We see them at war. And what were the differences over and over again? They didn't have gratitude to God for the things that that God was doing for them. They didn't appreciate. They would forget God. And when we think about it, we can't complain or have a proper gratitude at the same time. If you are thankful, then you're not complaining. You're not selfish. You're not jealous if you are grateful and thankful. If we think about it, we can't have gratitude and break any of the Ten Commandments. If you go down through each of the Ten Commandments, we can't truly be thankful and have gratitude and break any of the Ten Commandments. Knave's Topical Bible expresses singing praise as one of the most effective ways of showing gratitude. So what are some things we can be grateful for or show gratitude for? We can show gratitude to each other. The Bible tells us to be thankful for our trials. Now, that's a tough one. Sometimes going through trials, we're not real grateful, but when we stop and get the big picture, when we understand what those trials are doing for us, we can understand gratitude a little bit better. God's grace, this full relationship with him, are we grateful for that? The list is endless. And do we stop and thank God and take the time to be grateful for his blessings? Many times we feel it, but we don't show it, even to other people. We should practice gratitude. We're the most blessed nation on the earth. And we're so focused on material things that many times we lose focus of what is really, truly important. And we see throughout history, we see no nation, no powerful and domain nation, no money, military might, all of this together that has forgotten God and neglected to show him gratitude. We see that without them paying a tremendous price, appalling price for ingratitude. We have seen no nation that didn't show God gratitude last at all. So how important is it It's vital. It's important. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, once again we see thanksgiving and peace right side by side, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So do we have an attitude of service? Are we prepared to serve our brothers? That goes a long way to having peace. A quote from Christianity Today, and I quote, "When we set our minds on the needs of others, it's impossible for us to be divided. And even in our churches, the wolf and the lamb and the calf and the lion can all lie down together." Very interesting comment. Servants don't criticize. Servants don't compare. Servants don't compete with other servants. They're too busy doing the work that God's given them to do. So when you're busy serving, you don't have time to be critical, but then you are a peacemaker when you're serving each other. We might ask, do we have the heart of a peacemaker helping someone else? We see Paul was a peacemaker when he said, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, the good news of peace." Once again, Coach Gooden stated, "The smallest good deed is better than the biggest intention. Happiness begins where selfishness ends." So do we go out of our way to be a peacemaker? Do we understand we're not all the same? We don't all think the same, but everyone loves peace. So are we a peacemaker? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 22. Are we pursuing peace? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Are we pursuing peace? But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Avoid that. And as a servant, and once again, we are all servants, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. And most of the time we would think of someone that is able to teach, patient, gentle, not as a servant, but that's how we as servants should be. Do we have the attitude of being a peacemaker? We can be peacemakers in all aspects of our life, with our families, and that's important, at work, at church. We should be in the habit of being a peacemaker. And when we get up in the morning, we should remind ourselves, are we going to be a peacemaker today? We should put that on our daily checklist. When we go to the grocery store, when someone cuts us off in traffic, am I willing to be a peacemaker today? Can we be a peacemaker and not control our tongue? For the tongue is the number one enemy of peace. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. When we think about it, so many times destructive comments can slip out, and that only divides us. Because we could use the tongue for putting people down or devouring someone, and people take pride in that. Or we could use the tongue for compassion, encouragement, kind words. Kind words nourish and encourage and comfort and promote friendship. If we have a difference of opinion with someone, we can still make our point without attacking the other person or increasing the level of conflict. King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 13, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." So many times we can accomplish the same thing by using different words, kind words. How we word something makes a big difference. I'm reminded of the late Zig Ziglar, who would often use the example in reference to this, and he would say, comparing using two words that are very similar but have a different meaning. boy, aren't you a sight? Or you might say, wow, you certainly are a vision. So two different words, if we choose our words properly, can go a long ways to prevent conflicts. Peacemakers learn to deal with conflicts and learn to produce a peaceful outcome. Takes humility, takes wisdom, takes diligence, takes being at peace with yourself. It takes living God's way and loving His way of life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Now that's pretty hard sometimes. Are we praying for our adversary? Verse 29. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. So we should be praying for our brother. We should be praying for our adversary. How do we go after the goal of peace? We have to follow after the things that make for peace and strive for peace. Romans 14:19 states, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify one another. Let's turn to Romans 12, and I call this God's recipe for peace. Romans chapter 12. If we want to be a peacemaker, let's look at his recipe. We'll start reading in verse 9. How are we to be a peacemaker? Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Once again, God's recipe for peace. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. And if we're having a difficulty with someone, let's turn back to this section and read God's recipe. Verse 11. Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. All of these things lend itself to being a peacemaker. Verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If we could only do these things, how much more peaceable will we be? Verse 18, if it is possible, how much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We've covered a lot of these points. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, do not overcome evil, but overcome. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when we think about having peace, are we gracious to each other? Do we have graciousness? A definition of that would be to bend or stoop in kindness, show mercy, make supplication, goodness, the divine influence upon the heart, including gratitude, favor, gift, grace, courteous, politeness, benevolence. Exodus 34, verse 6 states, the Lord merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. And aren't we glad that He is whenever He sees us, His human beings? Psalms 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. And these would be good attributes for us to strive for. Psalm 86, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. We see how gracious God is to us. It should cause us to be gracious to other people. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Do we have an attitude of graciousness? Proverbs chapter 22, let's read in verse 11. Proverbs 22, verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Do we have grace on our lips? Are we kind with our words? Even when someone else has a shortcoming, do we choose our words carefully? Colossians 4:6 tells us to let our speech always be with grace. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Are we kind to one another? Well, let's take a look at some conflicts in the past and peace in the future. If we stop and think about it, we see the conflict of Cain and Abel. We see conflicts from the beginning of the Bible all the way through. We see unresolved conflicts from ancient times, thousands of years ago, and still are influencing our world today. We see conflicts between Hagar and Sarai, Abram's wives. We see the example of Paul and how he started out persecuting the church and then being a leading example of how to be a peacemaker, a complete turnaround. We see the book of Philemon and the tact that we're taught there, how to love our adversary and the example of being a peacemaker. We see and look forward to a world full of peacemakers, the kingdom of God. Imagine that world. Imagine a world in peace. At peace, being kind with each other. We can pray for it. We can point people to it. And certainly we look forward to that world in that time. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2 as we look forward to this time of peace that the world doesn't even know, has no clue how to find it. Isaiah chapter 2, let's read in verse 4. And he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares. And when I read this, I'm reminded of that statue in front of the United Nations building where you have that person beating his sword into a plow. And they'll beat their spears into pruning hooks, farming implements, farming tools. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Our world has tried, but its best efforts have failed. But we look forward to a time when he will teach the whole world how to have peace. We're in Isaiah. Let's turn over to chapter 11. Some very familiar passages that are good for us to read from time to time. Isaiah chapter 11, let's read verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Imagine this world. Imagine and think of it often. It will help us as we think about being a peacemaker. Are we peacemakers in a world of distress? And certainly all we have to do is look at the news. Are we personally going to be known for peace? So how can we be peaceful? How can we be unified if we're different? Because we focus on what's commonly important. Christ, the plan of God, the kingdom, the same goals, living God's way of life, serving each other. These are important things to focus on. So are we going to be known for conflict? Is someone sees us, or is that what they know us for? Or do they know us as being a peacemaker? people are going to come to God's church. They'll come walking in that door, and they have one question on their mind: is God here? And they can feel and see and know, are we peacemakers? Are we showing God's love through being a peacemaker? It's always the perfect opportunity to show God's love. It's always the perfect opportunity to show God's patience, to show God's peace living in our lives. So today we've seen that being a peacemaker is a way of life, and it's a godly principle. And certainly we can look forward to the time when the Donald Trumps and the Joe Bidens will be blessing each other instead of calling each other names, cursing, causing each other grief. At a time when the whole world will be peacemakers, we look forward to that time when we will find ourselves looking upon any unpleasant situation and remembering to be peacemakers. Let's remember to treat each other in a godly way. And as we go throughout the upcoming weeks and months, let's all strive to be peacemakers. And when we do, we can answer in a positive way to the question, are we peacemakers? And then God will call us blessed. So what is the message for the Donald Trumps and the Joe Bidens and the Donalds and Joes in your life? The future is good for the Donald Trumps and Joe Bidens. And today we have the opportunity to be a light and show the way of happiness, God's kingdom, the way of peace. And in the future, we'll have the opportunity to teach all of the Donald and Joes how to be peacemakers to the kingdom.